Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, where we're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started with worship. The first one is the room in the inn. We've participated for a great number of years. We're down on the number of volunteers. If this is something you'd like to take on and spearhead, please let the church office know by the end of this month. We will be receiving donations for the Love Box, which Kelly will be talking about in a moment. We will also be receiving the 10-cent meal offering this morning. In anticipation of Veterans Day during the month of October, we will again collect for items for shut-in veterans in the VA hospital residents for Operation North State. Please leave these donations at the Ed Building, the Narthex Fellowship Hall, and office. And if you have any questions, you can ask Debbie or Charlie McCreary about that. Mark your calendars. The Cook's Presbyterian Women, Men of the Church, and Boy and Cub Scouts will be hosting our annual Fall Festival this year on Saturday, October 30th. Please collect little toys and pieces of candy now for the bags, as well as let the gang know that you're available to help out. That's always a fun time. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this Sunday are to say happy birthday to Jack and happy birthday to our grandson Parker on his 21st birthday, and that's from Jeannie McClure. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any announcements that need to be brought to the congregation at this time? All right, well, we have Kelly is going to bring us up to speed on an opportunity for giving.
Sorry, I'm not very good at this. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
I'm here to talk about the Love Box for the little boy, Isaiah, that was murdered almost 3 weeks ago. I talked to his grandmother yesterday, which we do quite regularly because we happen to know the family, and now somebody has stolen the flowers off of his grave. So me and my son that really knew him went this morning and took memorial teddy bears that were left so that we could get them cleaned up and packed up so they won't be stolen as well. The little sister, or his older sister, Leia, was also shot and spent 3 days in the hospital. So now they have mounting medical bills, as well as having to find a new place to live because the house is unlivable. They've had to find a new car because the car was totaled, and they're going to need furniture. And this family was already living paycheck to paycheck, basically, like a lot of us right now. I'm not asking that you donate a lot. I would be thrilled to walk out of here with $20 today to give to this family, because it has a personal connection. It's not just something I saw on the news, and I know they need the help. So if anything that you can donate, I'll count pennies all day long. Anything y'all can donate, I'd appreciate. Thank you.
Kelly, let me ask a question, and I didn't get this in the thing. How will the folks give money to that?
If they donate to the Love Box, then I can make sure that it gets to... I'm sorry, I meant to say the Love Box. Okay. Then I can make sure it gets to the family.
Okay, very good. And yeah. So you would give those donations to the Love Box, right?
Yes. I'm sorry. I don't
No, it's okay.
I don't do public speaking. There we go.
I don't either. Not well, at least. Okay. Thank you, Kelly. All right. Well, those are the announcements that we have this morning. And so let's turn it over to Aiden, who will start us with our call to worship.
Please join me in our responsive call to worship from Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, the great King over all the earth.
He subdues people under us and nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
You can head back down. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I praise you, O Lord, the one who is the Word of God, the one who existed in the beginning with God. You were and are God, and you were there with God the Father in the beginning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his role in our creation, and we thank you for his ongoing role in our sustaining and wonderful faith brought to us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Gracious God, be with us as we seek to worship you. Enable our minds and our hearts to open fully wide so that we might not only hear the wisdom that you share with us, but also feel compelled to do the work you've called us to do. We know that it is through our love that we demonstrate that we're Christians, and it is through our wonder at your great works that we connect with that. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of the coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. I invite you now to rise and join me in our first hymn, number 305. Me this week that it's oftentimes the people that look and cite others for failure that are in fact failing themselves. And we know that because the Bible calls us time and time again to be accountable for our actions, and most especially to be accountable toward our sin as it relates to our relationship with God. Friends, what we undertake now is a prayer of confession in which we corporately lift up to the God who we call holy and almighty with an attempt to share those things that lie darkly upon our hearts. And we do so with the full faith and the full knowledge that God chooses not to condemn us as we lift these utterances up to him, but instead continues to lavish us with that amazing grace that comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I invite you this morning to join me together in our prayer of confession, taking a few moments, even though they're not in there this morning, I don't believe. No, there they are. We ask you to kind of read along and then have a silent moment of confession before we conclude the prayer. Join me now as the words are located in this morning's bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you, and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things, we ask your forgiveness. We also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds, open hearts, so we may witness to you in our world. And us, you who you always be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and with those you have given us on earth, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, it is great joy to declare to you the message that the canonical scriptures give us time and time again. It is, in fact, good news. The greatest news of all time is that we who are sinners, even though we fall short of the glory of God, God has promised and pledged his engagement with us to provide us love, to provide us grace, and to provide us hope. And so, friends, I just invite you to believe the awesome and wonderful and great good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. We come now and sing our second song, which we sit for, and we sing number 634. Next week, after hearing a number of folks interested in its return, next week at this juncture, we will start reaffirming our faith using, most likely on most Sundays, the words of the Apostles' Creed. But that will begin next Sunday. And so this Sunday, it looks like it's just you and me, Aiden, as well as the kids. So I'd like to invite them to come down and enjoy a time for just the kids. Why don't you sit right here? Yeah, we might as well use that chair, right? We don't use it. I sit there during communion, man. It's not often used. Will the other group come up? Okay, thank you. All right, well, it is just you and me today, Aid, which is actually a good thing, all right? You and I got to talk in quite a bit before the service today, and it was really great to hear. You see, Aid and I both really like cats. We're cat people. And the other thing I noticed is that Aiden has a really good way that he beat something that vexed him. And I want him, if he's comfortable, just to kind of share that with you. Would you mind sharing? Yeah, okay.
Well, a long time ago, I was scared of heights. And, well, I conquered that fear by, well, I climbed up a very high slide. Well, it wasn't really high, but to me it was high. And, well, I looked down and I did what God wanted me to. I looked down and conquered my fear by facing it right down.
You know, today, absolutely. You know, it's just God moves in mysterious and wonderful ways. This morning, you know, we're going to start a sermon series in which I'm going to talk about re-engaging with having a childlike faith. And here in this time that's set aside that typically we as adults, we try to teach the kids, Jesus is going to give us a big reversal. He's going to say, if you want to come into the kingdom of heaven, you got to be like a child. And I don't mean to say you're a child because you're a middle schooler and that's not a child. But you're a child to a lot of us. And the thing is, you know, one of the things that today was going to be the kids sharing wisdom with us. And here is just the one great example. If I had told my, you know, crew, they might have said something funny, right? This young man has shared with you exactly the wisdom that we need. You know, Jesus Christ tells us to pick up the cross and to follow him. And when we really read the New Testament, that ought to scare the, you know, bejesus out of us, really. Because following him is a commitment and a high cost and work. And what it requires is for us to be fearless. And what Aiden has shown us is that in faith, the only way we get over our fears is to face them. And if that isn't a lesson that God wants us to hear, because like Aiden said, when God's with you, what is the declaration? We can do anything. You can beat your fear by climbing up a slide. You can defeat your fear by simply going out in the world and sharing the good news, which scares us a lot. Let us pray. Dear God, we just thank you that it is often from the children that we hear such powerful good news. Oh Lord, fear is defeatable through you. But it takes the willingness and the ability to respond to your call. And so today, Heavenly Father, let us not only hear your call, but indeed respond. We make these prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much. That's a pretty one. I don't think until I'd heard that song that I was aware that Bible and reliable rhyme. Right? Because it is. The Bible is reliable. I can think of no better message than that. Well, as we come now into a time of reading and proclamation of God's holy and perfect word, we do so as Presbyterians always by preceding that time with a prayer for God's illumination. So will you join me now as we pray for the illumination of the Holy Spirit to be upon our reading and proclamation of Scripture. Heavenly Father, you indeed have caused all good things to be written. Your word reminds us that every single word is breathed by you, useful for teaching and correction and for glory, your glory, so that we might know you, know your attributes, and thus knowing your attributes, love you. For you indeed are love and holiness and goodness and provision. Everything we need, you provide. Open us to the work of your Holy Spirit now as we hear your word read and proclaimed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to tell you, I am so proud of my grandson.
Yeah.
I'll be reading from Proverbs 3. 1 through 8, page number 627 in the Pew Bible, if you'd like to read along with me. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment for your bones.
I think I got the outline this week. I do. Guys, this morning we're going to start a sermon series that is obviously very near and dear to my heart. It's called Three Pennies in a Rock, and it's really focused on how to develop a childlike faith. I wrote this book before I came to Cook's, and then in a typical fashion, I didn't like the editing process, and I never got it really fully edited. And so what I've decided to do is, using that as a template, preach the series of sermons that capture the intent of that book, which is, I believe, a thoroughly biblical one. As we heard already in an abbreviated form, God does tell us time and time again to be like children. And we're going to hear a couple of those verses in just a minute. But before we get started, I do want to share with you the story behind the title to this series, because I'm going to come back to it again and again. It was my daughter's kindergarten year. She was at Mountain Island Charter School, and she and Ben had to wait for me to pick them up every single day in the carpool rider's line. Well, as the twists and turns of that would work, one day I happened to see my kids across a decent amount of distance. I could see them, and they were standing there, and it was like Lily was a ray of sunshine that day. She literally radiated happiness. I mean, when you see your kid that overjoyed, I mean, it really does awaken in you something very, very special. Well, as I got to the carpool line, it was like her energy and excitement were building. And as soon as she swung open the door to my little blue Hyundai, she said, "Dad, I had the best day ever." Well, you know, I have an adult mind, and so my mind went to the kinds of things that would please a parent if their kids noted they had a great day. I asked her, "Did she meet a new friend? That would be wonderful. She was just in kindergarten." "No." "Did you get a good grade on a test?" She didn't say it, but she reminded me this morning they don't give grades in kindergarten. What was I worried about? You know, I had these things in my mind, But as we were pulling away, it was at that point that she thrust into the front seat from her seat in the back her hand and told me to look. And she said, "Dad, I had the best day ever. On the playground today, I found 3 pennies and a rock." It was the kind of moment that makes you realize that you lost something for as the adult years wear on. Because in that moment, I realized that kids really do have it right in a lot of ways. And one of the ways they get it profoundly right is just how simply they react to the world. You know, as adults, I think it's just the nature of our lives that we become more and more jaded over time. You know, I reached 50 the Friday before last, and I was sharing with Ginger that I think that that's the age in which I can officially become a grouch. I don't know that Ginger was a big fan of that, but I was. The thing is, I recognize now as a 50-year-old that there are some bad things or irritating things that just are never going to go away. We know that things like arguing and the government incompetence and superhero movies and deaths and taxes, they don't ever seem to go away. And that fills our heart with sadness. Unless we like superhero movies, then God bless you, they're wonderful. The second thing that we have to see, and we do as the years go up, is that some good things never seem to return. Things like civility and bipartisanship and just honest-to-goodness humility. In a world that we have to brand ourselves to make ourselves known or to make our way in the world, is it any wonder why the humility is being sucked out of America like a bad vacuum? It happens because we're adults. We unfortunately have things that have gone away that we know likely aren't going to come back. You know, that's a really tough place to be in a lot of regards. But when we import that jadedness into our faith life, it becomes toxic. It can be the very thing that kills a vibrant faith. When we start believing, or rather I should say disbelieving what God has said, anything is possible for those who believe in God. That's what God says. But somehow along the way, we lose the thread on that. We don't quite believe it. We think God might do something, but most likely won't. And so what do? We do almost nothing. It's a problem. In fact, it shouldn't be overlooked that sometimes what we need the most is a childlike sense of wonder. Wonder is what kids get better than anybody in life. I remember one time seeing a child, not one of my own, in my office playing with his mother's set of car keys. There was no more enraptured person in the world as he fumbled with those things and looked at it. He was engrossed in that moment. You and I look at that same pair of keys and we see utility and maybe even the annoyance of having to drive. The fact of the matter is that kids hold on to that wonder and amazement and curiosity in a way that is a blessing not only to them, but it's a blessing to us. We heard, honestly, this is gilding a lily. Aiden got it every point I think I'm going to make. You just have to trust God is where it pans out. But there may be a little bit more to it, so I hope you'll indulge me just a little bit. The thing is, when that gets into our spiritual life, that jadedness, the first thing that goes is our excitement. And excitement is what drives the church. It always has. It always will be. Whether it's excitement over the good news, which is what it should be. Man, I'm a sinner and God has really forgiven me. Oh, and I get to spend eternity in heaven as well. That's great news. It's also great news to hear these words. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nation. Because when you really get that relationship between you and God, you really want to let others know. You want to let others know in a way that is very childlike. That you're so filled with wonder that you can't stop but exclaiming it. God tells us in some ways in the Word of God that this feels like to us very much like a choice. we feel like we have to decide on these things. Now, the Holy Spirit is with us, but just listen to what Jesus says about children and childlike. I read to you first this morning from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 9 through 13. I invite you now to hear the word of the Lord. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The other passage that is most likely well known to you on this is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter. I read verses 1 through 3. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the things, just like that kid with the keys, that you could say is kids, young kids especially, are rarely indifferent. I remember taking Ben to a flag football game when he was about 6 years old, and the kid just loved at that age football. And it was their very second game, because the first game they were really disorganized, but they did work some things out. The second game came, and Ben went onto the field with the starting unit. The refs and the coaches were getting some things together, and Ben was so overcome with excitement and enthusiasm, he just started screaming, "Rock and roll, rock and roll." Pretty soon, all the kids just about on his team were yelling, "Rock and roll." They were fired up to be playing a game. And I can't overlook the fact that that was game number 1,000 in the history of 2,000 or 5,000, and it was awful easy to not get excited. But when Ben and his whole team began that thing, I realized they had something that I don't. Kids have that sense of wonder and excitement that just naturally flows to them. That day, it was just another game for me, but for Ben and his teammates, it was the Super Bowl, and they weren't going to not put in 110%. Think what we could learn just from that alone. Because you see, as I talked about jadedness, what I was really talking about is a sin, honestly. Has been for a long, 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 long time. It's one that's kind of silent and we don't think about very much, but I think it's one of those things that when we know it or we're doing it, we can identify it. Of course, I speak of sloth, apathy. These were codified, that outlook was incorporated into the seven deadly sins before the year like 700. So we can see that very clearly that our scriptures line up against this apathy. Another word that our God might use for it is hardness of heart. But when things aren't exciting, it's easy to get apathetic. You know, in about 1982, well, it must have been 1983, my dad flew me up to Chicago with him as he went on some business. And one of his colleagues in the office there in Chicago, now remember this was 1983, I was talking to me about some things. And of course, what are little boys like? We like to talk about sports. So I asked him, did he go to any Chicago Bulls games? The guy laughed. I'm not kidding, because it's 1983. He laughed and he said, "Honestly, if the Bulls," and he pointed across the street, he said, "if the Chicago Bulls were playing across the street, I wouldn't waste my time to walk over there even for a free ticket." Okay, that's pretty apathetic. Wonder where he was 4 years later when Michael Jordan was in town and the Bulls were pushing for the championship and certainly a generational athlete. Well, that apathy had a location. They hadn't won. It wasn't exciting. Friends, sometimes our faith life can become just that way. We can be not excited about our relationship with Jesus Christ, or we can simply be bored with coming to church. Or maybe we've served on the last committee we think we're ever going to serve on, and we say goodbye and good riddance. It's not exciting. It feels like a waste of time. We're not winning. We're not winning. All right, let's be honest. Our church is a reflection of a much broader problem in America. And I say problem very deliberately. What we hear and what we see is that the country has moved away from the Almighty God as being the center of our order. And as a result, what we've seen is the wheels fall off the spokes, or the spokes fall off the wheels, probably the way you want to say that. You see, we like, though, to blame what's outside the walls. We say, oh, it's bad philosophy. It's things getting busy. It's the internet. It's social justice. It's everything is out there. Let me give you some statistics, though, that I think point us to the real problem, where the real apathy, where the real sloth lie. Here's some facts that were recorded in the most recent study on religious behavior in America. Only about half of regular churchgoers pray on a daily basis. 25% never pray at all. And we wonder why people aren't here. Under one half of the Christians read the Bible on a daily basis. Nearly 20% of them never read it at all. And we wonder why there are blanks in our pews. 80% of Christians, 80% admit they rarely witness for and to Jesus Christ, and only 2% of all Christians are intentionally engaged in the work of evangelism. Now we know why nobody's here, right? Do you see this? That we have become, over time, spiritually apathetic people. We have said, Jesus doesn't give the results like we think, and so we're just going to ride out the side. We're not going to care. We're not going to put ourselves too far out there. Why? We've got heaven. Of that, there is no doubt, because we believe in our hearts and confess with our lips when we're around like-minded individuals that Jesus is Lord. So we know that salvation is ours. But I think if you find yourself located in one of those statistics, then you're going to know that something is not right with your Christianity. It can't be. If you're falling short on prayer, on scripture reading, on witnessing, on serving, there is something wrong in your Christian walk. Now, that's not to say that we don't all come in times and seasons where we just have to say, no mas, no more. I see it right now with a group of leaders that surround our church. They're tired. They're tired because they've done the hard work of running the church for years. Why are they still the ones doing it? And again, I think you have our culprit. Apathy, disinterest, dislike maybe. We don't necessarily even know sometimes what we're doing. That's why children are our antidote. And they always have been, and they likely always will be. Jesus Christ, his disciples are astounded in this moment from the Gospel of Matthew. You see, children, if we think kids in the 50s and 60s were more out of sight, out of mind than they are now, man, turn the dial back to the year zero, and you're going to find that kids were taken away from the menfolk, right? Like, get those kids away from me. So when Jesus' disciples and apostles see a kid, they want to move Jesus away. They want to say, no, no, Jesus, this is important business. This is serious. We can't have kids. What does Jesus do? Jesus calls one of the children into the very center of them, which would have been disrespectful in some ways, and points to the child not as an example of bad work, not as an example of people you want to avoid, but instead God reveals children as the people we need to emulate. And why? Why? Because they come so easily to a sense of wonder. They are amazed at things from great as the mountains to three small pennies in a rock that you and I probably wouldn't have wasted our time picking up on the playground in the first place. But that
ignited in her the sense of wonder that made her day great. That's what we need. That's the antidote to our apathy. Now, if you think about it, wonder really has two distinct forms. I'm going to talk about wondering primarily in the first, but I don't want us to miss the second. This will go into the book a little bit more clearly, but I want us to hear them both. When I say wonder, there are two aspects to that. There are two distinct definitions. One of them is amazement, like an awe-filled sense of glory. If you're familiar with Isaiah, the sixth chapter there, Isaiah the prophet is introduced to God's throne room and he sees the seraphim and the cherubim and he sees them with their eyes covered and remarking, "Holy, holy, holy." You see, in that sense of the moment, Isaiah was captivated by wonder. And where is his first couple of moves? Isaiah 6 has us realize that Isaiah says, "Oh, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips." What Isaiah knows in that moment when he's filled with the wonder of God is that he falls short of that glory, is that his sin is somehow offensive to God and he remarks on it. If you'll remember that particular passage, it's at that point where the tongue is put on coals. But then what's his next response? His next response is a song, is recorded in song. Of course, it's "Here I am." "Here I am, Lord, send me." You see, apathy drains us, makes us more jaded, leads to bitterness and contempt, and really being a grouch in the world, which, as I told you, I'm 50 and I can be at times. And so you just have to take it now because I'm 50, right? I have to take it from you, so it's all right. Folks, the thing is, when we miss that sense of wonder, we miss all of the good things that life has to offer. In fact, so much so that even our friends in the medical field, and particularly in the field of psychology, already know it. Now, they don't talk about wonder from God. They just talk about developing a sense of wonder. And here's what it does for us. We've heard a little bit of Isaiah, but now let's look at the facts. When people have a feeling of wonder, they feel they have more time available. They feel less pressure as their impatience dwindles. We turn then into Psalm 46:10 and realize that God already knew that. What does he say to us? "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." We're not impatient because we have a Lord that loves us, that is with us in every single moment. One second is no different from another in that regard. Not only that, we know that we have an eternity ahead of us in the kingdom of God, and what gives more patience than that? Then you consider that Jesus tells us to forgive people that have harmed us so many times, it's almost an unfathomable number. And we realize that when God is involved in our lives and we have a sense of wonder at his power, that life becomes less pressured. We're also, as Isaiah did, much more likely to volunteer. Acts 20:35, Paul, preaching at Ephesus, says this: "In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Wonder and life experience leads to greater overall satisfaction. Psalm 118:24 reminds us, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Every moment, every second is worthy of our wonder and our rejoicing. And here's the most important thing for us, I think, who live in a consumerist society, and many of us worship at consumerist churches. What a sense of wonder, that awe and amazement that comes only from God can do for us is it leads us to prioritize our experience with other people than it does over the things of this world. What does Jesus tell us in Matthew 6:19 through 21? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth, rust, and destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What this shows us is a number of things. First and foremostly, don't miss this, it means that a sense of wonder in God is going to lead us to better service and to better ourselves. Not sense of wonder in ourselves. We don't need to brand ourselves. We need to simply be reminded that we, in a manner of speaking, have been branded already by Jesus Christ, who's declared us his children. There is, of course, a couple of great ways to cultivate this sense of wonder in your life. And again, this is going to sound very repetitious, and it probably already does. But I'm convinced that there is no more surefire way to develop a sense of wonder at God than it is to have a personal relationship with the Word of God recorded in the Holy Scriptures. When you go into the Psalms, when you go into Proverbs, when you go into Revelation, you are going to be exposed to a God that defies your ability even to conceive him. So much power, so much knowledge, so much love and forgiveness. When you hear those stories, and when you read about how the psalmists or others have declared the majesty and the handiwork of God, your breath is going to escape you. You will feel that wonder and amazement of God. You can do it through the Word. You can also do it out in the book of nature. Remember, in Genesis, we believe that not only were we created in the image of God to be stewards over all this creation, that in a sense, all of this creation was God's love gift to us. You know, when I hear sometimes people say, I don't need to come to church, I just go out in nature. I know that that's not a complete and actual understanding of the word, but I certainly understand it. Because who here hasn't found themselves in some amazing vista looking out perhaps at the fall foliage as the season heightens and not just been smack dab plumb astounded by God? Could happen in any way. It could happen in any situation if you're aware of it. If every time you go out of the house, you say a prayer and ask God to reveal for you his wonder and his amazement, his power, his beauty, his glory, I make you a guarantee you're going to find it. Why? Because it's ever present. And sometimes all it takes is just to be on the lookout for it. So how do we get on the lookout for it? Well, we read our scriptures and we get out in nature. And then if you're a more cerebral type, read science. And I mean the high edges of science. Because what particle physicists are figuring out right now is there's no way this whole shooting gallery works without a God, without a creative design. This is laughably unreal. The statistics just don't add up. And yet here we are. And what science can often show us is that God has an ordered mind, which is interesting. Because what God tells us is that you and I have an ordered mind that gets disrupted by something. And it's not somebody complaining at us. It is instead sin. And so as we think of this sense of wonder of God, as we experience it, we find our ways into the new and the wonderful. I can also tell by the time that I have way overshot my mark. So I will have to break this into more palatable pieces. I appreciate your time this morning. I do want to leave us with just one thing. I want you to hear this part because I think it's the most important. One of the ways that you can develop a sense of wonder is simply to change your perspective on life. How do you do that? I saw it happen. I've shared this story with you before. Some of these examples go back into this book, and I apologize. Pastor can only have so many good stories, right? I was invited as my first pastorate to go to a cheerleading and dance recital. And I know now, don't say yes to that, because those things are like 12 hours and they're loud, right? And so there I was sitting with my members, and I was sitting beside a guy when this one dance troupe came out. And I don't know if they were the remediated group or they just didn't have maybe had two left feet. It would be the group that I'd be in, so it's not like I'm insulting them. They were a little rough around the edges. They bumped into each other. They didn't seem to know the choreography very well at all. And I mean, I'm looking around like, this is not good. The guy next to me has got the biggest smile on his face that you've ever seen. I keep watching the guy. Eventually, a tear rolls down his eye. I'm still clueless. I don't have a daughter or a son at this point. I don't know why this guy's crying. It's not that bad, right? Anyway, the event goes on. I stay to the mostly bitter end. And you know what? One of those little girls that was on that really ill-adjusted and ill-practiced team came running over and said, "Daddy, Daddy, did you see me?" And the man was overjoyed, because he wasn't looking at her with the eyes of criticism or adult eyes or jaded eyes. He was looking at her with the eyes of a father. And all we have to do, folks, if we want to sense wonder and amazement, is realize this, that no matter how many times we bumble and stumble through this thing called life, there is, in fact, in God, a kindly set of eyes that is up there watching us. He's not happy when we do wrong. But when we get to work doing what he calls us to do, his heart fills, and the world is right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer. We pray because we've heard the word read, we've heard the word proclaimed, and now we turn our thoughts and attention to doing the work God told us to do, which was to love one another as he loves us. So let us now pray. Wonderful Father, wonderful God, we just stand before you with awe in our hearts. You indeed are wonderful, and you indeed have imbued and infused this world with your wonder. The wonder we can look out and see just how great and good you are. So too, Heavenly Father, do you fill us with a sense of wonder at this broken creation. We wonder why sometimes there is suffering. We wonder why there is a lack of provision. Heavenly Father, begin to let us ask those questions why. Wonder asking why, as a church, we're not engaged in those areas of healthcare, of schooling, of acts of provision and love. Heavenly Father, fill us with your sense of wonder so that we might make difficult inquiries into this world. Father God, also fill us with amazement, not at your handiwork, but rather at your handiwork in other people. Enable us to be kind and loving to the very least among us. Enable us to go above and beyond, to turn the other cheek, to carry 2 miles when we have but one to go. For anyone and everyone that needs it, make it not a function of asking, but instead make our hearts charitable, softening them and inclining us to do your will and your work in the world. Heavenly Father, we pray today for all of the sick and the grieving and the lonely and anxious of our church. We pray as Hayden Bolts makes his recovery, we continue our prayer for the family of Harmon Poplin. We pray for Annie Lucky in her recovery at home. We pray for Jack McClure, whose birthday it is. We pray for Corky McClure and Steve Gilmore. We pray for Jill Griffin. We pray for Dennis and Debbie Abernathy. We pray for Pauline Harper. We pray for Roy Lynn. Heavenly Father, we pray for all the first responders, as well as all of our armed forces, everyone that keeps us safe at night. We just lift up to you in prayer. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, and having made our prayers of intercession and supplication to God, we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, reminding ourselves that God loves a cheerful giver.
Marvelous grace, of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, oh yes, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon you and me within and cleanse us. Grace, oh grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Yes, God's grace will cleanse within.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you are indeed a provident God. You amaze us with the way that you care for us and provide for us, even when we think you're absent. Heavenly Father, now, having received a million of your tenderest mercies, we just return a portion of the blessings you've shared with us back to you. Gracious God, use this offering. Enable it to share your gospel message both near and far. In all your ways and in all your name, we pray. Amen. Friends, we come now into a time where we prepare for the leaving, right? There's a called the benediction, a charge and a benediction. And the charge is simply to remind us of something in the sermon and then to give us with words of scripture or theological affirmations the means by which we do it. Friends, today your charge is simply this. Go out and be disciples. Carry the cross in whatever way Jesus is handing it to you. Take it from there, and all things shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. And the benediction is as it always is. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forever. Amen.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Have a blessed day.